Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. Well, he's back by popular demand. I got a few phone calls and a couple emails this past week saying, hey, you need to have Pat McShay back on. I love when you interview Pat. So without further ado, investigative reporter extraordinaire Pat McShay, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry. It's great to be back.
Always a blast to chat with you. Honestly, Pat, we don't have to do much research. These stories write themselves.
And they really do.
The idiocy is, well, to coin a phrase, we have a pandemic of idiocy. It's just,
yeah, we sure do.
It's everywhere. And first off, I want to start with the lawfare that they are putting on Trump and his associates. Anybody that was associated with Trump, be it a lawyer or an assistant, they are coming after them with teeth bared and doing everything they can to take these people down. This is not normal, is it?
No, it's not. And just a few weeks ago, they took away John Eastman's license to practice law in a disbarment hearing. And then last week, they went after Jeffrey Clark, another Trump attorney who's also been charged in the Fulton County RICO case. And, you know, I've written 6 articles about the election, and I can tell you that there's a mountain of evidence proving the election was stolen, but the media is covering it up. They don't tell you that not a single one of those 60 cases was an evidentiary hearing. And so they've never been able to air any of the evidence of the vote fraud in any of those hearings. I always said that they could use the witness stand as a soapbox to get the information out to the public when these cases start going to trial, like the Jeffrey Clark trial. And that's exactly what's been happening. They brought in all kinds of experts to this Fulton County hearing just last week, and all of this is being censored and blacked out from the mainstream media. But a number of cyber security expert that testified. There were Garland Favorito, who is a chairman of the voter integrity group called Voter GA, testified. And these guys all, there were several of them. They all testified that there was no chain of custody of ballots, which is important to know that you've got a fair election. There was missing surveillance tapes of the drop boxes. They were supposed to keep those. No signature verification was done. All of the election laws just disregarded. They proved that there were dirty voter rolls, people that had moved out of state, people that had moved long ago, dead voters. There were fake ballots that were on the wrong paper stock. Thousands of ballots that they proved were double scanned. Electronic ballot images were altered before the election was certified. They don't know who altered them. Fulton County ballots were scanned with no election observers around. That's a violation. 350,000 poll takes that come out of the machines are supposed to be signed at the end of voting, and none of the 350,000 poll tapes were signed, and that's required by law. 1.7 million ballot images were illegally destroyed in 70 counties. There, I think there's 159 counties in Georgia. They weren't able to even look at the rest of them, but in 70 counties, they found 1.7 million ballot images were illegally destroyed, and that is a violation of both Georgia state law and federal law. 375,000 of those were in Fulton County. So Mark Wingate, who is a Fulton County election board member, he refused to certify the 2020 election because there was so much fraud, no chain of custody, no signature verification. And not only that, there were 148,000 votes that six whistleblower poll watchers brought forward and said these are fake ballots. They were on the wrong paper stock, and they had all been printed. They were copied and stacked just like they came from the printer. And these were supposed to be mail-in ballots, but none of them were folded. So a judge ordered Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger almost 2 years ago now to turn those questionable ballots over for inspection, and he's refused to turn them over. He's also refused to testify under oath about all the problems they had with the Dominion voting machines that they're telling everybody had no problems. So isn't that why Fox News supposedly settled with Dominion?
Yeah.
You know, that was a joke.
It was big time.
I wrote an article about that. I think that was a prearranged settlement so that no one on Fox News could talk about the stolen election. And it's worked. Everyone there is afraid to even bring it up. And not only that, but all the Democrats on Fox, they use it to hammer the Republicans about how Joe Biden won. And you admit that Joe Biden won, right? You know, they do that. But it's funny, Brad Raffensperger announced on election night that Trump was leading by over 100,000 votes with 98% of the vote counted. So the only way Biden could have won is by cheating. They had to bring in more ballots. And I think those were the fake ballots. But everything was thrown out. Nothing was done by the book. And there is no way they can claim that this was an honest and fair election.
No way. And there are so many different lawsuits around the country that are still arguing about the validity, whether Biden won or not. You know, I have my personal opinion and you have yours, and so many people have their own. I can honestly say in my heart of hearts, there is no way in my mind that Biden got over 80 million votes. But there are trials that are going on across the country, but you don't hear about these trials on controlled media. They don't want this information to reach the general public.
Well, people need to think about some of the numbers. Joe Biden and Donald Trump, number of counties won. There are 3,113 counties. Joe Biden only won about 535 counties out of the 3,100. Donald Trump won over 2,500 counties. Think of that. And you know, you probably know about Bellwether County. Is a county that traditionally, you know, if these counties go, and this goes back 100+ years, if these counties, if a candidate wins, you know, these counties or a majority of them, they're a shoo-in to win the election, right?
Yeah.
There are 19 bellwether counties. Trump won 18 of 19 and Biden only won one. It's just an impossibility. And there are so many facts like that that I've written about in other articles that would just blow people's minds if they saw all this information. But, you know, America can't trust these mail-in ballot voting. Why are we still having mail-in ballot voting? Are you kidding me? Why haven't the Republicans, you know, said, hey, we're not going to do that this time? We control Congress. I mean,
too many rhinos.
Yeah. it's just so sad that, you know, recent polls show that I think one I saw recently was 63% of all voters think that Trump won in 2020. 63%. No one believes Biden won. And if Biden wins again in 2024, do you think anybody will buy that?
God, I hope not.
And they're already, I've seen some of these polls here on Citizen Free Press this week where it says, you know, Biden's pulled ahead or Biden's tied with Trump now. And I'm thinking, there is no way. There's been nothing but horrible news in the economy, horrible news out of Ukraine, horrible news in the Middle East. I mean, just everything is horrible. And inflation, the jobs report was horrible. How in the world do they expect us to believe that this brain dead president is pulling ahead? I just don't believe anybody buys that, but I don't know.
I've said repeatedly, Pat, that the Biden administration and all the puppet masters that are controlling the strings of this place are doing their level best to turn this country into a third world dung heap. And Bidenflation is rampant. Bidenomics is destroying. There's been a war against the middle class for decades, but it has accelerated at warp speed, to use a phrase from the scamdemic. But the war on the middle class has been devastating to those that, that make a decent amount of money, but they're not rich by any means. I mean, I went and filled up today for gas at $3.08 a gallon. You were telling me before the program you were paying $3.69 a gallon up in Indiana.
Yeah.
But do you remember what the gas price was when Trump was in office?
I know that 6 months before the election here in Indiana, because we still talk about it, it was $1.79 in Indianapolis. And we couldn't believe it, you know.
Right. And then, okay, when gas prices were affordable and the economy was on the rebound, Trump bought lots of oil for those strategic reserves.
Yes, yes.
And now Biden has given most of that away to China. I wonder why. I wonder how much he got for that. But that's a side point. But now the strategic reserves are low.
They're just about gone. And Biden said, well, we can't fill them up now. Prices are too high.
I wonder why, Joe.
It's just so obvious to me that he is not making decisions. Someone's making these decisions. I don't know who it is destroying the country, but anybody that votes Democrat ought to have their head examined.
Right. You mentioned the jobs report. When I was watching local news, killing time before the weather came on, because really that's the only time I watch local news is for the weather, to see how bad it's going to be or how good it's going to be. But they came on just before the weather broadcast and said, the jobs report was just released. And I'm thinking, okay, what? And then I hear this garbage that comes out of the pie hole of the newscaster. And I'm going, there is no way this guy actually believes this job report. Now, I know for a fact that they have pencil whip job reports. They did it under Obama. They did it under W. They did it under Bush Senior.
Yeah.
They have taken the jobs report and totally annihilated factual data. Although the Bureau of Labor and Statistics has the real data, but they don't want that out there for the mainstream controlled media to put, because we don't want to scare Americans away from investing in our economy. Well, the economy's in the toilet, but instead of counting unemployed people that haven't been able to find work and are no longer getting unemployment benefits, so basically they're on welfare, they're on government dole, they're not getting unemployment, they're getting food stamps and welfare. And if you look at those rolls, they have shot up through the roof. But they don't count those people. It's only people who have lost their job recently and are on unemployment insurance, and those are the only people that are they're counting. So, of course, they make everything look rosy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a con.
Well, and not only that, but even the stuff that is verifiable that everyone can look up, every one of these jobs reports, they always talk about them real glowingly, but they're always debunked within a day or two.
Yeah.
Everything they say is exaggerated. I mean, they just lie about everything. It's really scary. I know politicians, lie, but I mean, they're ridiculous. And then Biden just keeps telling the same stupid lies. They'll fact check Biden and say, yeah, that never happened. And then a week later, he tells the same lie. It's like, man, you can't keep up with him.
But if Trump had said those same bogus things, they would have been on him like white on rice.
And
it would have been never ending. Biden gets a free pass on everything. I mean, like the investigation that Robert Hur did. Well, yeah, Joe had classified documents, but we're not going to press charges because he's senile. This guy is in the White House. He's got a finger on the button.
Yeah, and then Biden comes out and tries to defend himself and makes it all worse.
He obviously the elevator doesn't go to the top floor anymore for Joe. Not that I believe it really ever got to the very tip top, because he's always been a grifter and a grafter and a con man since he got in the Senate. He has stolen from the American people. You know, the thing that gets me is obviously, these people, these politicians, had some knowledge, some education to what the real world was like. But once they get inside the Beltway and they get submerged by the swamp, they lose any sense of common sense that they may have had beforehand. And then they all turn into con men and criminals.
Yeah.
Look at the recent budget. How much pork was in that last budget that they just passed? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. Billions.
And it's all because, well, I need to stay in office. My job is to get reelected. I don't care what happens to America, because as long as I'm in Congress, I've got power, I've got prestige, I'm famous, and they let it go. And it just drives me nuts, Pat, that they let this stuff fester. And it's turning into a huge boil on America. And it's got to explode eventually. There's no way that what Biden has done with the economy and the Inflation Reduction Act that has done nothing but skyrocket prices. I'll tell you a funny story. Tex was talking one day on his radio show, and that's when I was producing it.
Yeah.
And he said that they were talking about economic indexes and how the economy was recovering. And the guy, the spokesperson, said during the Obama administration, said the price of iPads is the same price it was 5 years ago. And a reporter said, you can't eat an iPad. That is an epic line that I don't think people, it resonates strong enough with. You can't eat an iPad. So, you know, they take the focus off of, I mean, people are eating rice and beans and whatever they can afford just to put something in the bellies of them and their kids. They can't go out to dinner anymore. I mean, I'm cooking more and more at home. You know, my wife and I do most of the cooking, and I tell everybody that my wife makes my favorite reservations, but we're finding recipes on, you know, we're finding recipes online that we can cook here and save money.
Because
Biden has just tightened everything down on everybody. It's just nuts. And control media keeps spreading these bogus lies about how great we're doing.
Well, speaking of the economy, the Federal Reserve, did you see James O'Keefe's new? New video where the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, wants to be remembered in history for undermining Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Says conservatives are dumb and discriminated against at the Federal Reserve. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you, man, they need to get rid of these people, all of them.
You know, Ron Paul had it right when he said we need to audit the Fed, and I would love to get rid of the central bank and the Federal Reserve. That's all been a pox upon this nation since it was put in place by Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, Ron Paul also used to talk about, where's the gold? How much gold do we have? And why aren't we doing an audit of the gold? They won't allow an audit of the gold.
It's because we don't have any.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think we have any either. I think Biden probably gave it to China if there was any left, you know.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, Bill Clinton was given China missile technology and shutting down coal mines back in the 90s. And then we started buying our coal from China. People, I see this stuff today where young people say Bill Clinton was a wonderful president. I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, people look at the past and they just don't remember, or they didn't know what was going on. But yeah, sure. I was in the mortgage business in the 90s and I was having a great time as far as income, but Bill Clinton was just a disaster as a president. George Bush was a disaster as a president. Barack Obama, a disaster as president. I mean, we've had nothing but disasters. Biden, and even some of the things Trump did, I just wasn't a fan of it at all.
Yeah.
And Trump, if he gets back in, I always told friends of mine, I wish I would have been Trump's head of personnel, because I wouldn't have hired about 85% of the people he brought in.
Oh yeah.
And he didn't fire anybody.
No, I'd have canned most of them.
Well, I'd have gone deep at the DOJ and the FBI. I'd have gone four or five deep over there, but you gotta get rid of these people. When Obama came in, he got rid of everybody. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Obama came in, man. It was like, goodbye everybody. And he got rid of them. So.
But you didn't hear a lot of that on controlled media because they all lean left.
Right. You know, all Trump had to do was a simple Google search on a few of his bad hires. I mean, let's face it, General McMaster's worked for George Soros before Trump hired him. And I don't even think Trump knew that. It's like, how did he not know that?
Right.
How about the ambassador, one of the main women in the Ukraine deal? She also worked for Soros. All these people had ties to Soros. Everybody on that Ukraine desk, Colonel Vindman, they were all, I guarantee you, in Soros' pocket in one way or the other.
Yeah.
So
the depths of the dregs that were in the Trump administration, the depth of it is unfathomable if you think about who he surrounded himself in Trump Tower. He was looking for the best and the brightest.
Yeah.
And innovative thinkers. And it's like he went to a list from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the World Economic Forum, and George Soros lackeys. And he took and he picked from that list to fill positions.
He also let guys like Rosenstein and some of those guys at the DOJ pick people, like, I think the current FBI director, Christopher Wray. I think Rosenstein told Trump to pick him, and it turns out he's just part of that whole Rosenstein crowd with Mueller and Comey and all those guys.
Yeah, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the lot.
Yeah, Rosenstein was a real bad guy and hasn't gotten enough scorn from Republicans in my mind.
I don't understand how any administration, I mean, the FBI is supposed to be nonpartisan. They're supposed to be America's law enforcement. They enforce federal laws and do not usurp the Constitution. But they're right now pushing, the FBI is pushing Congress to re-up that FISA Article 702 so they can spy again on Americans.
Jerry, I'll tell you, the FBI is involved in an awful lot of bad stuff. You know that the GBI scandal up in Michigan, the fraudulent registrations and ballots?
Yeah.
The FBI covered that all up. They got involved in that right after the election, and they've covered it completely up and pretty much stopped the investigation, which they're trying to jumpstart right now under a new guy. But the FBI is who stopped that investigation. And GBI operated in 20 states. So they were like the old Acorn. They did all kinds of illegal activity to get those things signed. Also forgery, a lot of forgery. And they were paying these women that went out and either filled these in or got people to fill them in, paying them thousands of dollars in cash and debit cards, prepaid debit cards.
Untraceable.
So these things were going on in 20 different states, and all they're going to do is change the name. The same guy probably owns it, and they're going to be working the same cities, probably hiring the same people that they used in 2020 and 2022.
No doubt.
No, what I was going to say was, is it wasn't just Trump that was affected by this. That's all people really talk about. But they know that a bunch of Senate seats and congressional seats and other down ballot Republicans were defeated because of this stuff too.
Yeah. Abe Hamada in Arizona.
Yeah. Blake Masters, Carrie Lake.
Yeah. They got hosed big time by this.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, getting back with the FBI, they're such upstanding people that they had, you know, it's starting to come out now. January 6th, there was what, over 200 FBI agents and informants that were part of the insurrection, if you want to call it that. But they were behind the kidnapping, alleged kidnapping, of Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They,
well, this FBI guy that's on this other new Veritas, Project Veritas like video, it's on the Gateway Pundit today, but he's talking to this guy, and this guy talks about how the FBI sets people up and they'll do whatever they have to get you involved in a crime and just a real rotten guy. But the FBI they're out there looking into Catholics, and they're looking into concerned parents that are going to school board meetings. And I tell you, man, this is tyranny. This is what the beginning of tyranny looks like.
We are on the precipice to being completely controlled by a tyrannical socialist government. And when we come back on the other side, there is a German MEP who talks about the tyranny. And Pat and I are going to get into that because it's something else. This woman is a bulldog, and what she has to say, people need to hear. And we're going to talk about her when we come back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. My guest today is Pat McShay. We're going to take a brief pause. When we come back, we're going to dive right back in. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. I want to tell you about an outstanding work that TexMars put together entitled Conspiracy World, a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge. Planet Earth is truly a conspiracy world. This book is packed with a massive 137 different articles, all originally published in Power of Prophecy newsletters. The topics covered in this book are as timely as today's news and cover a sizzling multitude of conspiracies, scandals, investigations, and cover-ups. Never before have so many eye-opening secrets and disclosures been published in a single volume. Just to name a few, Money and Betrayal, Secret Societies, Bohemian Grove, CFR, TLC, Bilderbergers, Order of Skull and Bones, Freemasonry, Rosicrucians, and more. The Illuminati Obsessed with Sex, Devil Companies, Devil Products, Devil Logos, A Massive Golden Pyramid for Elvis, Face to Face with the Devil, Mysterious Deaths, Oklahoma City, Things Just Don't Add Up, UN Peacekeepers Raise Hell, Our National Parks Now Belong to the United Nations. How many of these items have you heard recently on your local news or on even national news? This is all part of the plan, and Tex Mars exposed this in his outstanding book, Conspiracy World. It's 432 pages, large format book, and it's only $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $31. You can order your copy of Conspiracy World by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. You can phone us on our regular line at 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Or if you care to mail in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. And you can mail it to us here at 4819 R period O period Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. If you don't have a copy of this outstanding work, you need to get one today. $31 postpaid. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jerry.
Now, I alluded before the break about Christine Anderson. She is an MEP in the German government, and she is outstanding.
Yeah, she's a real dynamo. I remember her back when the COVID vaccines were being mandated, and she was totally against that. She's come out against Klaus Schwab in the past, but yeah, man, she just laid it on him saying, you can't comply your way out of tyranny. Start rebelling. They're out to get you if you don't resist. I mean, she talked about the so-called pandemic was a beta test orchestrated by the globalists to determine how easy it would be to seize totalitarian control under the pretext of a global emergency. She said the goal ultimately is to transform our free and democratic societies into totalitarian societies. Their goal is to strip each and every one of us of our fundamental rights of freedom, democracy, the rule of law. They want to get rid of all of that. And she said in the entire history of mankind, there's never been a political elite so concerned about the well-being of regular people, and it isn't any different now. They don't care about any of us.
You know, the funny thing is, Pat, when the scamdemic hit and you and I started talking about it, and you would come on and we would talk about it, I did numerous programs on this scamdemic.
And, oh, my gosh. I wrote 12 or 13 articles on it, and I'm still talking to people, though, that said, you didn't get vaccinated? And I'm like, no, I guess you haven't talked to me in a while.
Right. It floors me, and I love the fact that she has a forum in the EU Parliament, and she is just out there giving good information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were people in the European Union that thought that she should have been gone after and punished for just saying that stuff. So yeah.
Control media will never put that out there. It's never going to happen. It's just not a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, now, they will own nothing and they'll be happy.
And you will like it.
Yeah, I love his Bond villain accent.
You will like it.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Oh man. But I think it's outstanding that this politician is out there with a forum in the Parliament of the European Union, actually telling truth and exposing what Schwab and Soros and all the other elites want to do, and that's a totalitarian state. And the globalists run everything, and you have nothing. So, I mean, God bless Christine Anderson. And
I don't know if you saw this, but just a couple of days ago on Laura Ingraham, she had a guy on, and he said the World Economic Forum is a fanatical political organization that uses fear and manipulation. And he said, like the COVID hysteria, like the hoax of the of global warming. I mean, he was saying the same stuff that he probably heard her speech.
Probably so. Now, people aren't going to see this speech unless they go to alternative media. And I will call Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Eventually I'm going to just start saying X because that's what Elon Musk wants us to call it. But
yeah,
if people want to go to your Twitter page, follow your link, how do they find you on Twitter?
My Twitter is @J_McShay, all lowercase.
Now you need to follow Pat because he's posting stuff all the time. I do a search in the upper right-hand corner of my Twitter page. I can do a search and just type in Pat McShay, and I pull him up if he's not posted something recently that shows up on my timeline. And it could be controlled where he's been blacklisted or shadow banned, and all of his posts don't show up. But I will go to his Twitter page. You haven't been suspended here lately, have you?
I have not, no.
You're sloughing off the job.
Well, you know, I think since I was suspended for just 24 hours when Elon Musk first took over, but since then it's been smooth sailing. I mean, yeah, so that's good.
But go to Pat McShay's Twitter page, and you will see this article, or this video of Christine actually spewing truth, because you're not going to see it on controlled media, not ever. But you will see it here, and this is outstanding. Now, something else that people aren't talking about on controlled media is the fact that the demand for electric vehicles or EVs has reached critical levels, Pat. I mean, it's...
Yeah, no one's buying them.
Yeah, it's on life support.
Yeah, I think in the last quarter, they said that Tesla was 70,000 cars under their goals. So they're not selling. The Fords aren't selling. They want to get out of the business of battery operated cars. Oh, and the Hertz president, CEO, remember he spent billions on EV cars for Hertz Rent-A-Car, and he just got fired because of all the problems with the EVs that are being rented.
Right. Now, I thought Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, they set aside billions of dollars to put in all these fast charging stations across the country. And I read somewhere the other day they've already completed seven in 3 years.
So, what'd they give them? $6 to $8 billion, and they've only finished 7 charging stations. I want my money back.
Right. Well, who's the energy secretary?
Pete Buttigieg. No. Oh, no. He's the transportation secretary. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me another guess on who's the energy secretary. I'll give you a hint. Former governor.
Jennifer Granholm.
Yeah, former governor of Michigan. So Michiganders know how inept this person is and should not be shocked if you have any common sense and your eyes are open to the garbage going on.
Oh, yeah. Remember when they asked her how she was going to, planning on bringing gas prices down, and she started laughing? And he was like, I'm serious. What are you laughing about? These people don't care about prices. They don't care about inflation, and they don't care about deficits. And I'll tell you, man, these deficits are getting so big. They're affecting everything, and they're the main cause of this inflation. And Biden spending trillions. What is it, a trillion every 100 days they're spending now?
It seems like it, yeah.
It's just obscene. And
the rhinos in Congress aren't doing any favors to the American people because they keep funneling money, shoveling good after bad to prop up this system. And we're getting deeper and deeper with no chance. I mean, eventually we're going to end up in China because we're digging this hole. You know, that's the old saying when we were kids is you dig that hole deep enough, you'll end up in China.
Oh yeah.
We're digging. I mean, there's no way to get out of this hole without fiscal responsibility. And it's not going to happen with the career politicians that continually further this debt. You know, Ron Paul tried and tried and tried, but he was a lone voice in Congress. And I don't know what all Rand has done. He come out with his Festivus on government spending, and I talked about that on my Secrets program. Yeah. Talking about some of the idiotic things we're studying and spending millions of dollars on. Is it until we get rid of the pork that gets put in all these bills and we actually care about truly balancing a budget, it's not going to happen, but we got to buy votes. It's a no-win situation.
Yeah, everything Biden does is to get more votes. I mean, he's out there giving away more student loan money.
Yeah.
This week.
What's Eric Adams doing up in New York with the illegals? He's giving them prepaid Visa cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we can't, we're cutting police force because we have to save money in the budget for these $1,000 gift cards to these illegal aliens.
Yeah, well, Biden says he doesn't know if he has the authority to do anything on his own at the border, yet he's defying a court order by the Supreme Court to stop giving away tax dollar, the money for the student loans.
Yeah.
You know, he's defying the Supreme Court there.
Why hasn't he been charged?
I don't know. Why didn't one of these reporters ask him, why are you people defying the Supreme Court? And who the hell do you think you are?
Right.
I mean, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It just seems like Republicans they're just too laid back. And the Democrats, they're killers. They are vicious. And we need to get some killers. We need to get some people that, I better not say killers. They'll say I wanted to kill people. Boy, but they need some people that are going to get in there and get the job done. And they're just not doing it. I don't think we've got enough Republicans left to save this country. I don't know.
The true conservatives don't want anything to do with the swamp.
Right.
And therein lies the problem because we allow and we, okay, I'll use Texas as an example. I am not a fan of Ted Cruz, but I definitely loathe John Cornyn.
Right. That's kind of how I am. I like Cruz better now than I did before the 2016 election.
But how much of that is a front? You don't know. That's the problem.
Right.
I mean, the politicians flip on a dime to go along with a crowd because that's where their constituents are. Well, I'll follow them for a little while until another group changes their mind, and then I'll go over there. They're wishy-washy. Every one of them is wishy-washy, and it drives me nuts. And speaking of wishy-washy, Dawn Staley, the head coach at South Carolina, was asked in a conference, a press conference, about transgenders in women's college basketball. Well, there nothing can go wrong there. I mean, it hasn't gone wrong in high schools where they let trannies win all of the races in track and they injure girls on the volleyball and basketball court. Nothing could go wrong here. And what is the deal with Hollywood stars and all of their kids, at least one, comes out as transgender? Is this propaganda? Is this mind control? What do you think is going on with all of this goofiness that we allow dudes to dress up as chicks and chicks to pretend they're men? I mean, nothing makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't know that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's daughter now is a trans male. And then Jennifer Lopez, from her first marriage, has a 16-year-old daughter that is a trans male. And then you've got Liv Schreiber, who has a 16-year-old son who is a trans female. Charlize Theron has a young boy that is a trans female. Dwayne Wade, the former basketball star, has a son that's about 19 who is a trans female. They're just everywhere. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have a trans child. So I guess it's part of the deal living in Hollywood or being a star, I guess. I don't know. But it's all pretty bizarre. And you've got transgenders now in that are going to be playing in college basketball. Dawn Staley was asked by Danny Z from Outkick Sports, are you okay with men playing in the NCAA Division I women's games? And she said, yeah, sure, why not? Are you kidding? She probably said that because she's about ready to retire in a couple of years, and by the time they start coming in there, she'll be gone.
She may be recruiting a 6'8 dude that's sitting on the bench at his high school, but he'll be a stud in college. Just put a dress on.
Yeah. It's just really sick what they're doing with women's sports. You know, my daughter was athletic. She played several sports. She was a cheerleader, but I just can't imagine if she was a top athlete in the Big Ten or, you know, somewhere, you know, at a Division I college, that a man, she would be competing for a spot against a man. It's really mind-boggling how, 99% of the country has to bend over backwards for, 0.04% they say is trans in this country. Of course, the way they're pushing it now, I'm sure that number is going to start rising.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're telling little kids now in first grade about anal sex and gays and trans and everything. They want kids as young as kindergarten to start learning this stuff. Now, who would want that unless they are just evil?
Right.
No one godly would do that, I'll tell you that.
No. The World Health Organization, I keep saying this, Pat, and hopefully somebody's listening and paying attention, but the World Health Organization classified transgenderism as a mental health issue.
Oh, yeah. It was every, you know, medical community organization, including, I think, the WHO just changed it a few years ago. But all the AMA and the American Psychological Association, they all had it as a mental illness until I think about 10 years ago they changed.
I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. But
I think that was the WHO. You're right. All of them were mentally ill 10 years ago. Now it's all changed. And this thing was all planned. I'm sure this was all planned. Just like the COVID and the pandemic, the vaccine, that stuff was all long planned. That was a DOJ operation funded by DARPA. People need to look into that. But yes, I think this was all planned a long time ago.
I have no doubt about it. And another thing that was planned and reached fruition under the Biden administration was the invasion, and not just our southern border. A lot of people are focusing on the southern border, but untold numbers of Chinese people are coming in through Canada.
Right.
That are illegal immigrants into this country, illegal aliens, whatever you want to call them. And the funny thing is, all of these blue states, when this was pretty much confined to border states, this invasion, they said, oh, we're going to be a sanctuary city. We're going to be a sanctuary state. And we would never kick all these people out. What happened when they sent them to Martha's Vineyard?
Right.
Yeah, they bust them smooth out. They let them spend the night, and then they got buses and sent them somewhere else. And
oh, man, those people did not want those people in Martha's Vineyard, man. That's for sure.
No, that is a lily-white confab up there in Martha's Vineyard. Now, they let the Obamas in, so they couldn't be discriminatory because Obama had power and money. But predominantly, it is a white, lily-white area, and we can't have illegals. We just don't have the infrastructure to deal with it.
Right. Come on.
Like Texas does, like Arizona does, like California does. California's broke. Gavin Newsom has spent that state into bankruptcy.
Oh, and did you see how many people have left that state? Almost 1 million people have left that state in the last couple of years. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
And the loony left that runs the state assembly, in their infinite wisdom, and Gavin Newsom just coming along with the program, raised minimum wage on restaurant jobs to $20 an hour. So what's happening there, Pat?
Well, I'll say restaurants are going to start closing down. They're going to start laying off, and they're going to start cutting hours. And they're not going to have full-time people anymore. They're not going to pay benefits. They'll hire more part-time and have almost no full-time. Yeah, it's going to be a horrible place to work because everyone will make $20 an hour, but you only get 14 hours a week.
Yeah, and but it's going to benefit the people that are making minimum wage and they're struggling. Okay, when you and I were kids, minimum wage was low skill, low knowledge, low experience. It was beginners.
Right, right. I didn't have a car and an apartment when I got my first job.
You know, I've laughed and told people, and I don't know if I've shared this on air, but when I got out of high school, me and my best friend, we got a trailer house and we rented it, and I worked part-time at a fried chicken restaurant, fast food, and I worked that from 3 in the afternoon until 10 at night, but I was up at 5:30 and I was on a roof in Texas roofing businesses and houses, shingle roofs, from 5:30 until noon. So I'm working two jobs. I'm making $3.35 an hour at the chicken joint. I'm making $3.50. I was high cotton then, Pat. $3.50 an hour to be on a roof slinging shingles.
Isn't that crazy how much those jobs paid back then and what people are making now? It's just mind-boggling.
You know,
although it did go a little further back then, I guess.
It did go a little further. But can you imagine $20 an hour for flipping a burger? How much skill does that entail?
Not much.
I mean, honestly, I was probably overpaid flinging chicken into the fryer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was happy to have the job, and I had worked there during high school. So, I mean, the economy was not as bad. I guess, who was president back there? And I was Ronnie, I guess, just after Jimmy.
Yeah, Reagan.
And so the economy was on the rebound after Carter had tried to destroy it. And Carter was overmatched and outmanned. He had no clue what he was doing as president.
No, he didn't.
I think he had a good heart. I fully believe now, as I have reached maturity, and it pains me to say that, at 61 years of age. I finally reached maturity a few years ago. And yeah. I can look back and realize that Jimmy Carter really, although he sucked as a president, he really tried to do the right thing in a lot of ways. And I think his heart was in the right place. But I think
I was just going to say he had a good heart. He was a Christian man. And I just think, I do think he was in over his head. You know, let's face it, Zbigniew Brzezinski was his foreign policy advisor. You know, he was a trilateralist and a Council on Foreign Relations globalist. He reported to the Klaus Schwab of his day, I'm sure. And he worked with Henry Kissinger did you know that Henry Kissinger was on Trump's foreign policy board when he was in office?
I remember reading something about that and wondering what Donald was thinking, but there were so many in his administration that just had me befuddled.
Yeah, I didn't even find that out till later. I wrote about it in one of my articles. Some of the people he had, again, I hope that he is a better judge of character this time around.
Right.
Because, boy, he really, the John Bolton thing. I mean, everyone knew that was going to go sideways. And I knew when he picked Bill Barr, I wrote in an article that Bill Barr is nothing but a deep state fixer and he will do nothing but cause problems for Trump. Yep. And that's exactly what happened. Yep. He worked against Trump the entire time he was with him. And then he's worked against him ever since Trump left, and he's bad-mouthed every single thing Trump's done since he left.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you and I talked about Bill Barr and his deep state connections on a program we did together. So,
oh, my gosh, his father was Jeffrey Epstein's boss at the Dalton School, hired him to teach the elite children at this expensive college preparatory, and he didn't even have a college degree. So Barr's father was, I think, an intelligence guy. And Barr, of course, he was up to his eyeballs in CIA drug smuggling and weapons deals with Iran and all sorts of things. So he's been a deep state criminal for his entire career.
You know, it's funny how time elapses and you start seeing how far the tentacles have reached from back, even in the 60s and 70s. Now you see that those tentacles of these deep staters and globalists may have been the beginning point, but it still reaches out and touches people today. And it's mind-boggling that the truth eventually comes out and you see actual evil that has been perpetrated upon you, and you were a willing participant until you took that step to pull your head out of the sand and actually do your own digging. And, Pat, we have flown through an hour, man. It just goes by so fast.
That did go quick.
I want to thank you, buddy, for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Oh, man, it was great.
Okay, that's going to take care of the program this week. Pat and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.